The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is That's Halath. For the next half hour, I'll be reading excerpts of funny stories, quotes, and other anecdotes from various sources that we hope will add a few chuckles to your day. My dear listeners, there are loads of pet themes and national awareness holidays in May and in June. Today we'll hear tales, pun totally intended, from the book A Dog's Guide to Humans, written by Karen Davison, with contributions from Bob the Westie, copyright 2013. First, the introduction. My name is Bob. I am a West Highland Terrier. Recently, Karen Davison gave me first prize in the Impeccably Trained Owner Awards in her book, It Shouldn't Happen to a Dog Trainer. While I have developed some skills in the people training department, I am also fortunate enough to own a particularly malleable human. Some people can be an absolute doddle to train. Some, however, can be a bit more challenging. The author asked me if I would collaborate in this publication and share a few tips and tricks on how my fellow canines may improve their lifestyle. Humans are sociable creatures and often live in family groups. Like us, they are intelligent and adaptive, which can make them easy to train. But unfortunately, their intelligence can also work against us. In order to get the best out of your human, you need to establish what makes them tick. It is a matter of working out which behavior elicits the best responses, and then use that as a method of getting what you want. If humans do something and are rewarded for it, they are more likely to offer you the behavior again. This is called positive reinforcement training, and you will find tips on how to utilize this method in later chapters. People tend to respond well to this approach. It is my hope that this book will help you develop a deeper understanding of human beings, their basic care, exercise requirements, and tactics that can be used to get better food, improved sleeping quarters, and much more. At the end of this book, you will find a quiz that will help you determine your level of expertise as a people trainer. Woof woof, Bob. In the first section, Bob the Westie gives a foundational overview of humans and why we seem to behave in such odd ways. The chapter title, What is a Human? Canines began to domesticate people some 14,000 years ago, and over time have developed a mutually beneficial relationship with these monkey-type mammals. They are omnivores and are successful hunter-gatherers, so generally supply bountiful food caches and usually provide more than adequate dens for us to share with them. In return, we offer them unconditional love and companionship, as well as many unique skills, such as territorial marking, landscape gardening, early intruder alert services, personal protection, personal fitness training, emotional support and cheering up, mental stimulation by keeping them on their toes, keeping their offspring occupied, waste disposal and crumb vacuuming. Human anatomy. People only use their hind paws for mobility, as this bipedal method of motion is inefficient. They tend to be quite slow, so be prepared to spend considerable time waiting for them to catch up. Their energy levels are quite low as well, so do try to be patient. Having said that, they do need to be exercised regularly, so you will find some tips on how to keep them fit in later chapters. Their hind paws are completely smooth and soft underneath, which doesn't afford much in the way of grip, and their toes are small. With this poor design, they have to use overpaw wrappings before venturing outside the den. When you notice humans putting these on, it is a good indication that it is time for you to walk them. So pay attention to this nice clear signal. People often have several different paw coverings. The ones that are not in use, they tend to leave around on the floor, thus giving us permission to use them for their alternative function, as chew toys. These are handy for curbing boredom when we are left alone, but for some reason, they seem less than pleased when they return and find them dismantled. Go figure. The forepaws are not used for motion, but are extremely useful tools and provide valuable services. For example, supplying food and treats, stroking and petting, scratching behind the ears, throwing toys, tug of war. For some bizarre reason, they use their paws for this instead of their teeth. Driving the mobile dens used to take us out to the park, bench, woods, etc. As people generally stand upright on their hind legs, their midsection is often exposed. If you launch yourself at this spot from a distance, it makes a fantastic springboard. When humans are in the sit or down position, it also doubles up as a warm and comfy cushion. Humans have poor coats, so poor in fact that they have to utilize removable pelts to keep their hairless bodies warm and provide them protection from the weather. These pelts can be used as readily available tug toys and for getting chase games on demand, which will be covered in detail in later chapters. Only the head generally has permanent fur, which can vary in color and length. The males of the species may also have fur on their faces, which can be useful for defurring your tongue. Human senses. The human sense of smell is nearly non-existent. People only have 5 million scent receptors, and their noses are dry, which prevents the capture of scent particles. It is hard for us to imagine such limited olfactory abilities, as we have an average of 250 million receptors. It is our most important sense. But people cannot use their sense of smell to interpret the world as we do. They rely mainly on their eyesight and hearing, which are not quite as efficient as ours either. Luckily for them, we perform an early territorial intruder alert service. Otherwise, danger would be sneaking up on them left, right, and center. Makes you wonder how they managed to survive without our help. To make up for their poor sense of smell, humans do excel in their sense of taste, which is quite impressive. Credit where credit's due. People have approximately 9,000 taste buds. We, on the other hand, only have around 1,700. So, smell for us is far more important to stimulate our appetite than taste. Luckily, humans do not generally know this, so they like to give us different foods as they think we get bored with the same taste all the time. So keep that little fact to yourself. Body language. This is where things can get tricky. It is important to remember that humans are not dogs. Their body language is different to ours, which can lead to some confusion and misunderstandings on both sides. To our way of thinking, their greeting rituals come across as rude. People do not appreciate or engage in a mutual exchange of scents as we do. They seem to jealously guard their most informative body parts, and if we attempt to gather scent information from their genitals, they can get rather offended. Without allowing scent introductions, they will often come straight at you and put their forepaw on the top of your head. This is not meant to be assertive and intimidating. Rather, it is an affectionate gesture. Strange, but true. Other aspects of their body language can also be a bit odd. For instance, a person can invite you to come over to them in a friendly and inviting way by crouching down. Then, as you approach, they stare at you and show you their teeth. One can understand how this might be confusing, but apparently direct eye contact is not a threat, and curling lips up and showing teeth is actually considered a friendly greeting in human circles. Temperament. Humans are complex creatures. They have a massive array of emotions that we cannot comprehend. Consequently, they can come across as rather unpredictable. For instance, when we have kept ourselves amused all day by rearranging the garden, instead of reacting with pleasure, they can take you by surprise with their belligerence. The best approach is to go with the flow. Over time, we have developed an instinct of how to adapt our behavior according to their emotional state. When humans are sad or unhappy, silent companionship is the order of the day. They get comfort from us being close, so just be there for them with encouraging, gentle tail wags and a soft expression. This usually cheers them up. If you detect that your two-legged companion is frightened or anxious, immediately switch to high alert protective mode. If they are angry with you and showing signs of aggression, it is best to stay out of their way. Physical activity is always important, which is why Bob the Westie offers helpful tips for how dogs and their humans can stay active and healthy. The chapter title, Exercising Your Human. Humans should be exercised regularly. Taking them off territory is a good way to keep them fit and to provide them with stimulation. Begin by letting your human know that it is time to take them out by fetching their lead and dropping it at their feet. If you do not have direct access to the lead, go to the area where it is kept and bark persistently. Some people can be a bit slow on the uptake, so run over to them and bark, then run to the lead and bark. Keep repeating this process, and eventually, even the slowest learners will get the hint. People have certain ritualized behaviors that they need to complete before leaving the house. This can include adding extra overpelts, changing paw coverings, finding keys, etc. This can be a tediously slow process, so hurry them along by running up and down, spinning around, and barking excitedly. When they are finally ready to leave the house, you just have time for a quick chase game before you allow them to attach their lead to your collar. As soon as the door is open far enough to get your head through, make a dash for it, moving them along as fast as their two legs can carry them. In order for you to be in control of the walk, it is important that you are out in front. To achieve this, always try to move along at a faster pace than they can manage, keeping maximum tension on the lead. To keep them on their toes, keep continuously crossing from one side to the other in front of them. This is a good focusing exercise. If they don't pay attention, they trip over you and end up falling flat on their face. It is necessary to let them rest often, so when you find an interesting scent, you can really take your time checking it out while they get their breath back. Refuse to move until you have fully explored the smell and feel that they are sufficiently rested. You can then take off again at a brisk pace. When you get to the park, you can let them off the lead. You don't have to worry about them, as they know their way around, so you can leave them to get on with their walk while you pursue your own interests. Given a choice, humans can be rather lazy. They dawdle along at a painfully slow pace. The best way to jolly them along into a run is to start chasing something that they would consider inappropriate. Here, I bow to the superior talents of my colleague, Fenton, the master of human exercise trainers. For those of you who are unfamiliar with his techniques, I refer you to a video of him in action. Go to YouTube and search for Fenton the Dog. Watch and learn, my friends. Watch and learn. While engaging in this three-way pursuit game, humans like to let everyone in the park know your name. They must be so proud, as they shout it out repeatedly. This is a bit of a strange custom, but don't worry. You will soon learn to ignore it. This is when we learn that we have a middle and sometimes even a surname. In Fenton's case, he seems to have four names. Fenton O. Jesus Christy. This is impressive. I think you will agree. While you may not be as fortunate as Fenton to have access to a herd of deer to pursue, with a little effort and some imagination, you should be able to find something to chase. For example, rabbits, dogs, people running, people on bikes, and there are always the birds. Birds are everywhere. When you have finished having a lovely time chasing your pretend quarry, you may notice that your companion is really lagging behind and are so out of breath that they are no longer shouting your name. Their body language seems to fold in on itself, and they look smaller and somewhat deflated. This is a good indication that they have depleted their energy levels. At this stage, you can go back and retrieve them, put their lead on, and drag them home. Physical activity is not the only important aspect of health. Mental stimulation is also critical. Bob the Westie offers some creative ideas in the next section. Home Alone Activities. Often, Our two-legged companions go away from the den for long periods of time, leaving us alone. Solitary confinement can be so tediously boring, especially when they forget to leave us something positive to do. Obviously, one of our main responsibilities is to guard against intruders. There is usually at least one burglar that attempts to break in. Strangely, it is always the same person. They try to gain access by shoving their hands and paper through the hole in the door. They are not particularly brave, however, and a good barking and lunging display soon frightens them away. Once this duty has been performed, there is very little else to do, so here are a few suggestions on how you may curb boredom and pass the time in fun and interesting ways. Indoor activities. One area of stimulation is to explore interesting sounds and textures. If you have access, dismantling soft furniture, such as cushions, sofas, armchairs, and pillows, make a gratifying ripping sound, and usually have some interesting textures to explore inside. To start this off, use your incisors to nibble a small hole to get you started. Use your feet as leverage and keep pulling and tugging until you hear a nice ripping sound. Once you have made a nice big hole in the outer material, you can amuse yourself by stripping out the soft stuffing. It is amazing how much floor coverage you can get out of a small cushion. It makes a much bigger bed than when it is confined inside the cover. Your human companions are bound to appreciate the wisdom of getting more mileage out of the material. Paper shredding is another activity to pursue to pass the time. To give yourself some variety, you can choose between items such as books, magazines, kitchen towels, and toilet rolls, depending on availability. Problem solving is another important pastime and is not only interesting, but often can gain some worthwhile rewards. Working out how to open the kitchen cupboards can be a nice little challenge. Obviously, the best cupboard to work on is the dog treat cupboard. You may have to apply your entire arsenal of problem-solving skills for this one, which is extremely satisfying and worth persevering with, as the rewards are well worth the effort. If you are unable to actually open the door, you could try dismantling it with your teeth. People bury emergency food caches in bags and bins, so raiding these usually reap many rewards. It might not be much of a challenge if the rubbish is stored in plastic bags, but the contents are many and varied and always worth checking out. Sometimes refuse can be stored in hard bins with lids that are difficult to open. If you have tried and failed to gain access with your nose, search for a paw switch, which is usually in the middle near the floor. If you step on it, the lid opens automatically. If you are still having problems, my advice is to use your paws and your body weight to knock the entire bin on its side. Often, this results in the lid coming off altogether, allowing you to drag out the goodies. In between these activities, it is nice to relax for short periods. This is when you need to find something to chew. If there are no toys or dog chews available, you can improvise. Paw coverings are usually readily available, and wooden items such as chairs, table legs, skirting boards, and door frames Make reasonable chew items. When you run out of things to do and start getting bored, persistent barking is an effective way of calling your companions home. If you keep it up long enough, they eventually hear your calls and return to the den. Outdoor activities. Make your human's garden more interesting by indulging in a bit of landscape gardening. You can have hours of fun digging big holes and creating mini hills while at the same time converting that boring flat space into something much more interesting. This also gives your companion options for putting in the pond they have always wanted without having to do any hard work. Strangely, humans do not always appreciate our efforts. There are many things around the garden that you can utilize as toys. Plants make good items for throwing, catching, tearing, and chewing. The best plants to use are the ones that have only just been put in, as these are easier to dig out. Unfortunately, they are not very hard-wearing, so do not tend to last very long. But you can always go and get another one if you are enjoying the game. Alternatively, plants in tubs are a good choice, as you can also play with the pots. They make a very satisfying sound when you bite them and shoot off at interesting angles when you pounce on them. Hours of fun right there. Pulling washing off the line can be entertaining. Larger items, such as sheets, are a good place to start, as these tend to be easier to reach. As you develop your jumping skills, you will be able to reach the more challenging, smaller items. These make a good gift to present to your human on their return, as they are easier to carry. You will be rewarded with their squeals of delight when they see their best bra or undies hanging out of your mouth. They seem especially excited if they have visitors with them. You may even get rewarded with a really fun chase game. But more about this in later chapters. We've run out of time for today's episode of That's a Laugh. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please be sure to tune in next time. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. That's a Laugh is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments about this or any other NCRS shows, please call us at 919-832-5138. Our number one more time is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.